In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, continue to speak. Chapter 3, verse from 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 12. Having therefore such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech, and are not as Moses, who used to put a veil over his face, that the son of Israel might not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But there the minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remained unlifted, because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lays over their heads. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with the unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Especially when you look at the verse 17, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a liberty. This is some very meaningful word. We know the story when Moses went up to the Mount Zion for 40 days. At that time, he communicated with God, and 40-day fasting, it's beyond our human limitation, so don't even try it. this is a special case he tried. And during this time, for him, I think it's a very short period of time, but it turns to 40 days. Because he communicated with the God, he see all the important the law he received from the Lord. And I just guessing, but I think at that time he received all the, you know, the Genesis and the creation of God and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all the story I think possibly he received at that time. So I think 40 days is a wonderful time he spent there, and then he came down. What happened is, you know, look at the Exodus chapter 34. The face is it's because it's a reflection of the glory of God. It's too shine, you know, too bright. So the people they cannot see his face. I think it's a lot of when the people look at the Moses' face, it kind of fear, because it's a bright glory. They can see it, and then they can look at themselves naturally, so that they can see a kind of distance. So ask Moses put the veil on his face. So when Moses instructed his people, he put the veil on his face and talked to his people. So at that time, how the Israelites received all the words through the Moses, and when the veil covered with Moses' face, so which is indirectly received all the word of God and all the instructions through the Moses. That's the Old Testament, and also the Israelites, they cannot enter the temple of God, you know, in throughout the Old Testament, and God chose the Levites, and God chose the priest. So let them get into the temple of God to manage all the work of God in the temple of God. So Israelites, they always, when they have commit sins, and then they bring the animal, and the priest killed the animal for them, and then they are the one who get into the holy place to communicate with the God. And also, in holy place, and there is a veil you know, separation between the holy place and holy place. So any priest cannot get into the holy and holy place because they like to go in. So only the high priest, once a year, they can get into the holy and holy place for the atonement, the, you know, great atonement day. All the Israelites, they are fasting at that day, especially for their sin. And then high priest put their string in the, what do you call, the legs, and there's a bell, you know, connected to outside, because in case these high priests have some problems or some sin, hidden sin within him, and get into the holy and holy place, and then because of his sin or anything that have a mistake, then he die on the holy and holy place, then who go take out, you know, this dead bodies? So nobody can get in. So the best way is to put the rope on his leg and get in he himself. So he come out means he's saved, you know, it's okay. But and then there's no any answer means he die on the high, you know, holy and holy place. Then they have to pull his body out of it. That's the one of the purpose. So you think about it, if you are high priest, when the day comes, you know, how scare yourself. You know, put the rope in your leg, you know, you're just on the way to, you know. And this is only one time a year matters. And then you get into, you know, cross over the veil to the mercy seat. Oh, this is a scary moment. I'm sure the high priest, on the Bible never mentioned, but I think he couldn't sleep that night. There's so much pressure, of course. Anyway, that is the Old Testament. So people cannot directly, you know, communicate with God, always indirectly. Yeah, that's the Old Testament. But New Testament is completely different. When Jesus come to this world, he died on the cross. You know what happened. When he died on the cross, in the temple of God, what happens? The veil was torn to two pieces from top to bottom. So it separation of the veil, even, it's not from bottom to up like this, but from top to bottom in this way. It is showing the, you know, symbol of the God to separate this, you know, veil, which is a clear out the veil. So from then on, anybody rely on the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we can get into the holy place. Holy place, which is holy and holy place, the same place. But Old Testament time, there's a separation between holy place and holy and holy place with the veil. So always indirectly communicate with God. But New Testament, under the New Covenant, when Jesus come to this world, he died on the cross, and veil was separated. And then now we receive the baptism and wash away our sins. And what is our status? How much we change our status? We are the one. You're the priest. Do you know you're the priest? You are a priest. I am the priest, you are the priest. We are the priest and we are royal. Priesthood, royal priest. Let's look at the Peter. Chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We're talking about our status. Verse 9. But you are, chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Here the Paul proclaimed that our status is a chosen race and the royal priesthood. So you and I, we are priests. So we can get into the holy place anytime, any moment. Once we get in, that means there's no veil at all. So we are in the right way in the mercy seat, which is we can see God. And this much we can change in the New Testament. This because this is under the new covenant. Let's look at the happened in the Hebrew book of Hebrew chapter 9. Hebrew chapter 9, verse 11. Those who cannot stand it, be so sleepy, but you cannot stand it, and you can read out for us. I'm sure many of you we have many candidates, so you need a courage, then read out for us. Anybody struggled and thank God. Until the 15th. Thank you. When this passage is telling us, this is how we can break the veil between the God and us actually. So, but then when the Jesus came to this world, and the Jewish people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests, the scribes, they think they're only holding the Old Testament, the old covenant, and the Jesus came and they cannot release it. They cannot release it. It's a time to release. Because the purpose of he came to this world to complete the law of Moses. So to let give us a true new covenant to give us it's a living hope. Before they realized they're trying to keep under the Moses laws. They tried to keep all the commandments, but they couldn't do it. They realized it. But they still try. But when the Apostle Paul and all the apostles, they start to preach the gospel. Now we are under the new covenant. We are under the grace of God. You can, if you believe in God, if you baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Your status is changed. And we don't have to we kill the animal to this kind of, various way to process to enter into the temple of God. Because he came to this world, he died for us by once, to open the way of, the gate of salvation for us. So you don't have to go through all this. But they still think that, no, this is the way. This is the way. That's what their problems. What happened, as long as they're holding the Moses law, they cannot see the new things. So they're in the veil within their eyesight. So God already opened for directly to can see him and experience him. But they just want to indirectly. So it is a sin, actually. There's a wedding, and you are the bride or bride? Bridegroom is a woman, right? Bride is woman. Nice. Longer one is meant. Okay. Bridegroom is waiting here, and the bride came with a veil.
Now there's no such, still have what we have, right? And then, bridegroom put the veil up, and then bride down. Up and down. You know, we as a bride is down, and then bridegroom think that you have any problem. You don't want to see me directly. And maybe you have some problems, you know, kind of ways. So you, now I, you know, Jesus came to this world. Jesus is what? For our bridegroom. So we are the bride. And Jesus take this veil, cover up for us. But if we put down, it is a sin, we can say. It is against God's will. We can enjoy because He opened for us to let us enjoy it. You know, this is what you hear, can see. So the verse 17, that's why the 16 says, whenever a man turned to the Lord, which is we go back to God, we go back to the Jesus Christ, the Jesus opened the veil for us. And 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a liberty. It is. When Jesus gives us all the living hope, and He as a high priest to come to open for us for everything, give us a life, and we pull out our life away from sins. You know, Old Testament, there's no way the people can wash away their sins, just like us. Is that true? That's why they have to do it every year. Atonement Day, then they come and all gather in the Jerusalem, and the high priest get in and out every year, because nobody can wash away the people's sin completely. So they have to do every year. Otherwise, your sin keep piling up. There is no way to remove it out of you. But now it's different. Once you baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, then it's once for all for your whole entire life. So you don't have to come every year to be baptized. It's really burdensome. If we ask you to baptize every year, then for the ministry, it's a lot of burdensome. Every year you have to go to the seaside and or the river to into it, and wow, that's a lot of work. Of course, if God asks me to do it, then I have to do it. But what I'm saying is, we don't have to do it. We thank God. We don't have to kill. You consider this, kill the priest. You kill the animals. I have to kill the animal. I really hate to kill the animals. Oh, thank God, I'm in the New Testament. Yeah. Anyway, but this is we don't have to do this kind of things, because Jesus came to this world, take care of us for us, unveil it, and give us experience of true freedom. And that's what here Apostle Paul invited to the people there. I'm sure because he mentioned about this, is it possible in church in Corinth that there's some people still, some of the leader in the church, they're holding the Old Testament's way to preach. So that he is showing this way to explain how precious and under the new covenant, under the grace of God. So explain this one to them. Let's go on to chapter 4. Any questions for this? Make sense to you? Chapter 4, verse 1, verse 1 to 6. Anybody read off for us? Thank you.
And here, especially verse 4, and even in whose case the God of this world has blinded the mind of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The image of God, it makes me to think about and also as a whole thing here, talking about the apostle Paul's, his apostleship, and you know, his what is apostleship means to him. We can say when he, we can see that his mentality and his attitude from the chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. When he preached the gospel, it's not preaching himself, but preaching preaching the God's gospel, not of his ones. So it's essence of our working for the Lord is not for us, it's for the Lord. We have the clear idea about this. And you know that each one of us, we have a different gift and different talent. Sometimes we think that we're doing something, we, you know, on the way it's good, that, oh, I'm good, I'm you know, it seems, we can misunderstand, which is we can deceiving ourselves, that, oh, we're doing this, we're doing that. Just like, you know, the donkey and the very high officer on the top of the donkey, and they walk on the path of this, on the town, and all the people bowing, you know, bowing down, and the donkey think that, wow, everybody, you know, bow to me, huh? Wow, not bad, I'm the better than them, huh? Just like that. So if we misunderstood, then and we don't understand our status, and then we think it's, you know, because God gave us gift, God gave us the work for the Lord, a mission to the, you know, for His purpose to fulfill. Then people respect and say, "Wow, I am, huh? I am." But we forget about the one in the top of us, in case it turned out to be like this. So we want to preach the gospel, for example, you preach a lot of people, and a lot of people to be baptized, and suddenly, you know, your influence is, you know, is somehow is, you know, greater than before in the church. And then you're trying to exercise your power. You know, in the human natures, we like to exercise the power. That's a human nature. So we have to be careful about that. Especially in the church, we do not doing this way. We're just using it as the instrument of God. We just like a donkey ourselves. So we practice all the work of God. We're doing all this because God asked us to do it. So we only the instrument. This is the apostleship that God sent us. You know, God, you know, the person who be sent by God. This is apostleship. So apostle, it's not only the minister, but everybody. We are all here. We are the apostle. We have apostleship. So always remember, we are sending by God. So later on, the later chapter, talking about the, we are the ambassador. You know, we are the ambassador, which is we're sending by God. Nothing else. Just instrument of God. And that's the attitude that we should have. And verse 5 here talking about that we do not preach ourselves but Christ Jesus as the Lord, and ourselves as your bound servant for Jesus' sake. Whatever you express yourself, you know, you have a testimony. I have a testimony. When we explain, you know, our testimony to other people or anything that you know, there's something marvelous one to other people. Remember, it's not the showing up ourselves. It's not showing our faith. It's nothing, but only solely is in the gospel of the Lord in the Bible. So that is the reason. When we bring up any testimony, why? Because we want to support the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the truth. That's why I support my experience. So explain to you. You know, this is a true way of the apostleship. No, that's the right attitude toward God. But man's nature is we like the showing up ourselves. That's man's nature. And especially if we have a truly gifted, then we have to be very careful. And this is we human nature. We are human nature. We cannot overcome ourselves. You know,
We are not a God, so we cannot. We know our own weakness, own boundary. When Apostle Paul, you know, the Second Corinthians, if you look at the Second Corinthians, he trying to express himself. I'm foolish, but I have to showing up to you. But there's a reason for him in this Second Corinthians, because member in the Corinth, they do not understand the Paul's apostleship and apostleship. They think, oh, he's not apostle. He's a small figure, and you know, it looks good. It's not a, you know, the standard of, you know, a certain looks. And so with maybe his wordy, maybe it, I'm sure, because he's very eloquent, I feel. You know, when I look at this kind of letter he write it, you know, I'm sure because he has a lot of knowledge, and also he know how to express himself. But I think some of them trying to accuse him, so trying to bring the, you know, leadership to shifting with the beside them, so they are the one holding the church. So I'm sure that would accuse him. So he explained to the member, my apostleship is came from the Lord. So you have to know, I suffer a lot, and when I approach it to you with a full of love, and I do everything from my bottom of my heart. So please do understand. So the Second Corinthians, most of the passages you look at it for, you know, that concern. It's not trying to showing up himself, but let them know to restoring his apostleship. So if the member, they still misunderstand about him, then what happened is that their understanding of truth, the gospel, also be twisted. So they believe something else beside God. You know, the First Corinthians, they have a divisions. Already have a division means they already, you know, twisted the real truth out of their ways. Because I belong to Christ, I belong to Paul, and I belong to, you know, Apollos, in this manner. Which is their understanding of the truth is already, the foundation have some problem at that time. Because they themselves are much better than other. I mean, much better than God. So they replace themselves. They're so proud themselves. And also sin come into the church. So the Apostle Paul have to fix this way to restore the apostleship, so that everything what they learned from him is true. So they want to restore everything back to the normal and the truth. That is his intention. And verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves but Christ Jesus as a Lord. What is the Lord? So our God and our between God and us, the relationship is a Lord and slave. Lord and servant. So we are the slave, we can say. Be a slave. Once we become a slave, become a true slave. And then blessings there. And there, servant and slave means there's no opinions. No opinions. But only opinion is a master's opinion only. And that's what they're talking about. Some of your translations mentioned by the Old Testament, Jehovah replaced with the Lord, right? Because the Lord is the only word can, during the time of Romans, that when the society, when they called it the Lord, means the highest people. So that's why at that time the concept is the Lord is the highest ones. So Old Testament, I think the Chinese version and Korean version says the Jehovah. Jehovah. That replaced the Lord. Because the Lord and Yahweh, it's the same. Sometimes on the way lost. And let's go on to, if I recover, then come back. And chapter 4, verse 7 to 15. Would you somebody read it for us?
We are troubled and we sad, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despair. persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body of the dying, of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are already delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh, so that death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are of your sakes, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. 17. For our light affliction, which is by for a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Thank you. When you look at here, this is a precious passage that talking about the earthen vessel. You and I, we are earthen, earthen vessel. You know? Sometimes I thought about it, if we made by the gold, it's our body, you know, made with the gold. Have you thought about it? I am the heavy, using the imagination. Anyway, but you know, why God created us with the dust? One of the most cheapest material in the world is earthen. Dust? Yeah. When you bring some portion of the dust in a pool, you know, and then you're trying to bring into the market to sell, then nobody buy it. But interesting, if you go to Tampa, I saw there is a they're selling the scent, put in the small package like this, and they say it's a white scent, and the 50 cents they're selling that, so you can buy it. But one of the nobody want to buy it. You know, it's that is a dust, the soil is no cost at all, but we are created by the dust. Actually, we are one of the most cheapest, you know, material that they build with. You know, that's ourself. Of course, you're trying to showing off your beauty or whatever, you're handsome, but actually, quite price-wise, it's not much of that much of, you know. Actually, oxen is better. You can kill and eat it at least, you know, which is more worth better. Man, think about it. You know, it's just nothing. We cannot use our skins, you know, but ox, you know, it's different. They kill, if we kill them and then we're using the skin as for the your handbags or gloves or whatever, you know, in your cart for the seat, you know, the very expensive, you know, the leather seat with that. So there's some worth, but we are nothing. We are nothing. But why we are so precious? The earthen vessel, because with the treasures. If there's no treasures, then we are worst one actually. Actually, there's, you know, the tiger is much better because the tiger's skin, you know, the leather is very expensive. There's almost nowhere to find anyway. But think about it, man's value, where we can find our value. When we have a treasure within us, when we carry the treasure, then our earthen vessel is truly the value up. Yeah. So when God created us, the image of God within us, when we read before in Genesis chapter 6, the man of God to be flesh, become flesh. Do you remember? To be flesh. Because they think about the always evil thought and the wicked things. So they turn themselves down to flesh themselves. Since there is no treasures, and then man has no value, that's why the God just, you know, just wiped them out through the blood, through the flood, because it's worthless and useless. So God just threw them out of the world.
Now, this generation, remember when you go outside, do not be tempted by the worldly way of your useless way of lifestyle. Well, because this is open society, maybe because you have a lot of way and a method to contact to the world. We know that. We easily tempted also because we have a flesh too. But remember, they have just flesh. It doesn't mean that I'm not trying to preach the gospel. But in ourselves to be how we can sanctify ourselves, how we can holding the holiness within ourselves. Remember, because we are the earthly vessel, but at the same time, within ourselves, there's a treasure. And the Bible clearly tells us he purchased us with his blood. And he also put his temple of God within our heart. So we have a treasure. So we don't only think that we have only just, our appearance is a physical appearance. So we have only just earthly vessel itself. In ourselves, we have a treasure. We compare with our the brother and sister to a Gentile. That's a lot of difference. You need a dignity. You need a confidence. You need your own guts. If you're tempted by the worldly people, where's your treasures? Maybe we forget about it at that time. But we have to remember, we are different. We are not only the worldly, the vessel itself, but in ourselves, we have a precious treasures. Outside our body, getting weaker and older. Maybe not pretty 20 years, but once we're getting old, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, we cannot keep ourselves just like this. So, several years ago, it was one of the sorrowful thing I saw on the TV. Elizabeth Taylor, she didn't show up even. What happened? What happened to him? What happened to her? Do you know? Nobody know. Oh really? Oh okay. But when one time she brought the boyfriend or her husband, but young, very young, the driver before or something. So he said, "Wow," because there's empty within her. Only she focused on the outer appearance. She wanted showing up to people, even the pick up the young man for the next to her to prove herself. This is a flesh itself. I don't see any inner treasures. We are different. We Christians, outside is deteriorated, but inner ourselves continually renewed. Well, let's look at the chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose the heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Gee, this is what the Bible says. Inner ourselves, continue renew ourselves. This treasure never died. These treasures always makes our price is priceless, become priceless. We all the brothers and sisters we have. We focus on our life this ones. Outside of this body, this is like a tent. The chapter 5 mentioned about it. It's like a tent. Sometimes you go to camping. Is it true? When you go to camping, do you decorate the inside of the camp, the tent? You put something, decorate, things like this, and you can, this. Nobody decorate, tent. We are in the body itself is a tent. It doesn't mean that, all the sisters do not, make up yourself, to put the, nice dress on it. Well, all the brothers enjoy, so don't worry about it. You can do it, okay? What I'm saying is, we properly decorate ourselves is our job too. It's showing our, this is one of the diligence also, do it, it's okay. I'm not saying that you just, to not let it just, don't do anything. But what I'm saying is, what our life focus, it's not our outer appearance. Let us remember, this is only just a tent. Yeah. We are different here, pretty and other. It's not a big deal. Only a few, 10, 20, 30 years. That's it. 1:10:20, you know, later on, no matter how much you put the things, you know, the trying to, what are called here, the, you know, the wrinkles, maybe you, wow, it's so expensive. I just almost fainted. You know, the small, the woman's using that, you know, the cream for the, to make it strengthen, even the temporary purpose, it's very, very expensive. But they're willing to buy. They want to straighten out the showing the, you know, the fresh ways. Anyway, but if you have a money, you can spend it. I'm not against it. But what I'm saying is, do not focus on there for your life. We focus on our life, but in our treasures. That's our life focus on. So that later on, when you're age like 40, 50, 60, you outside of yourself is like decaying, which is getting weak and old. But when the people can see you, you can, you know, they can see your true, you know, true treasure out of you. That's what I, that's what the value of man. You know, when the people who they cultivate themselves in the later age, they're very old, but you can see their true treasures out of them. We can truly respect them because we can see the true treasures. This is life of, you know, man's life. Yeah, this is a Christian's life. So year by year, day by day, getting better our life. This is a Christian life. So what is our life focus? It's a spiritual way, not the physical way. So the inner, in ourself, there's an image of God, well preserved there. So image of God within us. And this is the kingdom of God. Yeah. Let's look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 6 from verse 19. Chapter 6 from verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19. Now 20. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. We can use our, you know, earthen vessel for the purpose of God. That, you know, we can protect this inner our treasure with our, you know, earthen vessel, so to value ourselves up. This is our Christian life. Sometimes it's very interesting because inner ourself is the most expensive. The outer our body is one of the worst one. And also inner something that treasure is everlasting one. But the outer here is temporary ones. You know, think about it. What is the most valuable things in your life and in my life? You can, I'm sure because you don't invest your whole the money for something temporary ones. I'm sure because you can invest something that valuable one and also everlasting one. This makes sense, I'm sure, you and I. Anything else? Also, if you have treasure within you, nobody can take away. Because it's an everlasting one. Nobody can take away. Maybe you know that when all the apostles, when they preach the gospel, people trying to threaten them, don't preach it. No, well, God, you know, my God, my Lord, how can, you know, I follow you? Because my God is a true God. So they preach the gospel. They know. Even they trying to kill, or threatening to kill them, you can kill me, but you cannot take this treasure out of me. And that is a faith. We are truly the blessed ones. Especially we are young generations. We have to be very careful, all the brothers and sisters. Sin is around us. Now the 21st century, you know, there's not much of a value now this generation. Before, in Asia, we have a very strong foundations of our moral standard and everything. But now, wherever you go, you can tell, you know, when you watch TV itself, and all the you know, what do you call it? It's useless. I mean, it really. I'm not talking about the cable TV, just regular TV. When you turn it on, beside the sports, because I like to watch the basketball. Anyway, but you know, many of them you saw it, but you can tell after 1 hour you watch it. You know, you can tell it's just nothing. So you can make a decision. You can spend that way. Of course, you know, we don't have to watch all the sports game, but you know, some. Anyway, we forget about it. But anyway, in the TV, there's many programs. Really garbage. Garbage itself is okay. You know, you use like a tissue, put in the garbage. It doesn't bother you. But this garbage is different. It stick on your mind. But that is the problem. So it's very hard to take it away. You know, because matter is image. Always the problem is image. The TV is image. You know, implanted in your mind. It's hard to get away, take it away. It takes time to remove. It takes time. And so we are the Christians. Take care really, you know, our Christians. You know, our image of God to protect it through with the earthen vessel. It depends on ourselves. If we keep watching, then our inner treasure, you know, step away from us. So that's how the earthen vessel do ourselves to take care of, you know, our treasures. Let's go on to chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. But thanks be to God who always let us. Oh, would somebody read it for us? Oh, chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. Yeah, this all three verses is wonderful. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Wonderful. You know, the 3,000, I think, is, I don't know, when somebody discovered in pyramid, right, there is some wheat grain they discovered. So they put it in the ground, it come out. 3,000 years ago, it's not dying, so it cannot come out. Still, just remain as the grain itself. You know, death, actually, a lot of blessings. Anybody here wants to live this world forever? Forever? Now? Well, anyway, but I really thank God that one day I'm dying. Really, I really thank God. So I'm looking forward to, you know, my retirement at 65. Well, 65 is a voluntary retire. So, you know, the people in the certain age, and they release everything and waiting for, you know, coming, you know, going back home. What a wonderful! I like it. You know, people dying, it's not a, you know, for them it's a true blessing. But those people say goodbye. The other one, if their heart is sorrow. But after that, that's okay. Because we can see each other. We are not the Gentiles, you know, the everlasting separations. We are not everlasting separation. We are only temporary separation. We just can say goodbye, see you again. But other people cannot say see you. Or they can see you again in the same place. What I'm saying is that we know if we believe in God and not to believe in God, that means, you know, they cannot say, you know, see you again. You know, so I'm talking.